Morning. It's a great day to be here. We're going to continue on in Proverbs. If you see there in the bulletin, the title listed, Listen to God's Wisdom. And we're going to continue a part two of this, and it's just really an opportunity, really for all of us to really examine. For one is, you know, what are the things that we are, what do we listen to? What do we give our attention to? The things that we watch on television, the things that we see, the news that we read. It's really want to examine that. But also, too, is to really examine your response to the Word of God, whether it's in the preaching of the Word of God or as you sit down and study it each day, as you consider it or listen to it on the radio, whatever. Just really examine how what your response is and how you listen and how you apply it to your life. Because really the Word of God calls us to, in James, to be doers of the Word of God, not just hearers only. We're not going to be looking at James, but that's a great New Testament passage that goes along very well with what we're going to look at today. So this is just a continuation of a series on how to living wisely in a sinful and foolish world. And so for those of you who weren't here, we looked at how in a sinful world we ought to think. We ought to think wisely and how to respond. And really the book of Proverbs presents a lot of practical ways on how to think. But not only the book of Proverbs, but also throughout Scripture. Because for those of you who are children of God, that you have the mind of Christ, and you ought to think in that way. And so then we also looked at previously and how we ought to be speaking wisely. And really, this is another important issue in life as a Christian, because the tongue is a powerful thing, and the book of James reiterates that as well. That it can be used in an edifying way or a destructive way. And we have all found ourselves using our tongue in a way that dishonors God in some way or some fashion. But we ought to always strive to use it in a way that honors and glorifies God. And we looked at practical ways on how to speak and speak wisely. And then we came to last time on the end of March, last Sunday in March, we looked at the first part of listening, how we ought to listen, listening to the wisdom of God. And I entitled that because we're looking at the book of Proverbs. And the book of Proverbs is inspired by God, mostly written by Solomon. And we ought to approach it in a way just like Solomon calls in many times throughout. If you turn there in Proverbs, you see in chapter 2 of Proverbs, he says, "My son, if you will receive my words and treasure up my commandments within you." So this is a call to listen. These are words that are used throughout Scripture and in Proverbs is a call to listen to what the wise counsel through Solomon by God has given. And so that's where we come today. We're going to continue on a second part. And really it says selected scriptures in the bulletin there. We're going to land in Proverbs chapter 8, verses 32 through 36. So you can make your way there if you want to. Proverbs chapter 8, 32 through 36. That's where we'll be spending most of our time. So listening is a very interesting thing. You know, God really gives us instruction throughout Scripture to really calls us to pay attention. And the Old Testament and the New Testament calls us to pay attention to really, it's an engagement of the mind. And so really today, you know, as you sit here, you ought to be striving to engage your mind into the Word of God, not just in what I'm saying, but testing what I'm saying. Making sure that what I'm saying is what the Word of God says. Engaging the mind too, and also as you sing, I'm sure that sometimes the old hymns bring to mind certain passages of Scripture. That's engaging your mind in worshiping the Lord and really seeking to understand His wisdom. Not only in paying attention, but understanding, grasping the significance of the truth of the Word of God. So this can happen through, as I mentioned before, through the daily reading and study, as you sit down and contemplate and ask God to give you understanding into His Word. And grasping the significance as you listen to a sermon, whether it's here or on the radio or anything that you may download on your phone, you listen throughout the day. But really, it's some ways to grasp the significance of the wisdom of God is to ask questions. So if you're listening to or reading the Word of God or listening to listening to it, there's a lot of audio opportunities out there to listen to it being read, which is a good opportunity to engage your mind as well in the Word of God. But ask questions. Really, if you're asking questions, that's a sign that it's really engaging your mind and causing some more inquisitive thought into study into the Word of God. But not only asking questions, it's affirming truth. As you read the Word of God, you can almost, in some senses, say amen. This is true. And really affirming in your heart and your mind. And it's really something that God does. God affirms the truth by His Spirit on the heart and minds of His people. And also on the heart and minds of those who don't know Him, convicting them of sin, that they may turn and believe. But we know that Scripture often refers to these people as rejecting this truth and going about and God giving them over to their own devices. But not only just affirming the truth, but quite often what we ought to really seek in the study of the Word of God, or as we listen to a sermon, or as we sing praises to Him, and even as we pray, as Mark had considered prayer over the past couple Sundays, being reminded of truth. Because there's an aspect of studying God's Word or listening to a sermon to not only learn something, but also to be reminded of a truth. And a very interesting theme throughout the Old Testament is the use of remember. God calls the Israelites to remember and sets up various things to call to mind what He has done or who He is. And may we make these things as we approach the Word of God, as we seek to understand it. Let's ask questions. Engage your mind. Affirm the truth from God's Word and be reminded. Allow God to remind you of His truth. And really, one way that you are reminded of truth is as if you're spending time reading the Word of God. So in one sense, you can only be reminded of truth if you're familiar with it. So may you continue to be reminded of truth or shown truth that you can be reminded of in the future. And really this idea of listening is a matter of the heart. And we're going to look at a passage that describes this. But what I mean by that is that as you approach listening and to the wisdom of God in whatever fashion, it's really a matter of the heart. Where your heart is. And Scripture is very clear about that. And I'll say more about that later. But really, as you think just in practically speaking, just think of the grand design of God and how He has given you the ability to hear. Some people don't have the ability with perfect hearing to hear. Some aren't able to hear at all. That's not really what my point is just to really see the intricate design of the ear. And then one of the things that really reminded me of this, I don't know if any of you have ever experienced vertigo, But I did. And it was not, I didn't experience it as bad as I know some people have. But it really caused me and turned my mind to really think about the small instrument within the ear of God's design, how it can really incapacitate you. I mean, I had the ability to walk around. I know some people, actually a supervisor of mine in California, his wife had vertigo, and she couldn't even stand up. I mean, she was so sick. And it's really a precious and wonderful reflection of God's great design, because He has given us the ability to hear, and it's through the hearing of the Word of God that we can believe in salvation. So here are some questions to consider as we go through here. The first is, do you listen to God's wisdom? Do you listen to the Word of God? And God's wisdom can be communicated to you in many ways, as long as it's according to His truth. Whether that's reading His Word, listening to it, and those things that we had mentioned. But do you listen? Not only just practically sitting down and reading or listening to a sermon, but I guess more of what I mean is, when you read or listen, or hear, I guess I should say, do you actually listen? Listen to the point of not just hearing what it says, but actually doing it, applying it to your life. Because that's really the idea of listening. It's just not just saying, okay, you know, that's good to know. But it's actually being engaged in what's being said so that you can apply it to your life. Because I'm sure that there's many times that you can think of in your own life where you hear something and you have not done it. You know, whether that's, I know there's times where I know my wife has told me something. I know I heard it, but I know I wasn't listening. And not that I'm proud of that, but I know that has happened. There's times where we sit down to read the Word of God and we understand what it says, but we don't listen to what it says. So do you listen to God's wisdom? And secondly is, what are some reasons for you not to listen? And this is helpful to think about, because as we consider listening to God's wisdom, what are some reasons that may cause you not to listen? Well, you could be distracted, whether it's, I know having kids, it's easy to be distracted at times, especially on a daily basis, striving to be disciplined to read and have a habit of reading the Word of God. It can be distracted. It can be distracted in thoughts, thinking about issues at work, issues in the family or with your friends or something like that. There's many forms of distraction. But there's also just being confused, you know, not understanding the Word of God. And that's okay. It's not bad to say, well, I don't understand this. You know, I don't understand what this means. But it's what your response after that is. You know, is it that you are going to seek out understanding for what you don't understand? Because not everybody understands everything to the fullest extent. But there are people out there that could help you, whether here or others, you know, colleagues that you may know or good friends that don't attend church here that can give you insight to various passages. I mean, there's all kinds of resources. I mean, we have there's plenty of books back there. Nothing there like biblical commentaries or anything like that, but there's resources available for you to, I mean, there's just all kinds of stuff. It's the age of technology. There's a lot of ways to try to understand various meanings of what the Word of God says. All kinds of sermons. I mean, there's all kinds of things. So really, it's not the confusion or misunderstanding is not necessarily bad, but it's what you do with it. And So being distracted, being confused, and then misunderstanding. And there's other reasons for that. I just wanted to mention a couple things. But I wanted to recall that to your mind and have you keep these questions in your mind. Do you listen to God's wisdom? And what are some reasons for you to be distracted? And then thirdly is that how are you listening? How is it that you are listening to God's wisdom? Some people enjoy listening to find areas of being judgmental, I guess. Being very critical in their approach to listening to God's truth. And what do I mean by that? Well, I mean that being judgmental is that whether it's the person preaching, not saying that you shouldn't necessarily critique what he's saying, but being judgmental in the sense that trying to find every bit of slip up or error, or also too, you know, reading the Bible and thinking, man, I know a person that should read this. I'm going to go tell them right away that they need to read this passage. Now, I'm not saying that you shouldn't be encouraging people to read the Word of God. That's not what I'm saying. But it's not engaging your mind or listening to the Word of God and God's wisdom as he intended it for you. I mean, you're twisting it around and making judgmental, sinful judgmental approach to that. But also too, ways that you know, how are you listening to God's wisdom? It's, you know, selective. Some people choose what to hear and what not to hear. I think we can all may have been found in that category. Maybe all of these categories. Being selective. Reading a passage of Scripture saying, oh, that's nice, you know, that's nice to know, but, you know, applying it to your life is another story. But another way that often many people here, I'm sure, can be found is being very attentive, listening to God's wisdom attentively, engaging the mind as we had talked about. So examine that. How are you listening? How is it that you are listening? Here's some summary statements that we really must listen to God's wisdom, to God's truth, His Word. We must, because in it is life. In it is knowledge of Him. In it is the truth of salvation. In it is practical ways on how to really handle life's situations, especially in Proverbs. Proverbs is very unique in that way. And we all must recognize that we need to listen and obey and observe His commandments, or there is consequences. I mean, there's blessing in obedience, but there sure is that we ought to be reminded of is the fact that, you know, we recognize that we should listen, but if we don't, there's consequences. And really, it's the grace of God that only gives us the opportunity to listen and respond. It's by His grace and by His mercy that we can read His truth and affirm His truth and have it be such a warm message to us at times, especially in times of need. But also too, the Word of God can be a rebuke to us. And if we spend time reading the truth of God and we do it attentively, there will be times where God will rebuke you by His Spirit according to His truth. And we ought to recognize that because of our sinfulness and our sinful response, that we deserve to be punished. But thirdly, it says we ought to seek. We ought to seek with all earnestness to understand God's wisdom, to apply it to our life and to our situations. Whether that be in your marriage, if you're married, whether it be to your colleagues at work, whether that be to your friends at school, whether that be to your brothers and sisters of all ages, We ought to seek God, seek His face, and actually receive it by faith through Jesus Christ and believe His Word in faith and trust in Him. And then lastly, we must be confident in God's truth, in His ability to communicate that to us by His Spirit and affirm it in our life. And ask Him to apply it to your life. Because if you try to listen to something, apply it to your own life by your own strength, it's not going to happen. It can only be done by God's ability through His Spirit. And really this confidence must extend not just to our life here, but to eternity. That we can be confident in God's wisdom as He reveals it in His Word of the things He speaks of about eternal life. That if we put our trust in Jesus Christ as His Lord, as our Lord and as our Savior, that we can be confident in our obedience that at the end of our life, that we will be with Him. But also, too, we ought to be confident in the truth that on the opposite. Be confident in the fact that if you aren't obedient, if you are not living a life, if you are not a son of God, if you're not a child of God, that you will spend eternity in hell. That's a confident statement, and the Word of God is very clear about that. But let us live in confident obedience now and for eternity, that we can look forward to the day that as we go from here and spend eternity with God. So turning back to, going back to what I mentioned about it being a heart matter, I really want to talk about this to draw out some points that will lead in to the passage today. And really this comes from Matthew chapter 13, verses 1 through 23. And this passage may be familiar to you. Here is what's called the parable of the soils. It's a parable that's given by Jesus. Jesus often spoke in parables, and it was intentional. And he explains the intentionality behind that. We're not going to look at that, but you can see that early on in chapter 13 of Matthew, the Gospel of Matthew. My intention here is to point out the heart matter of listening to God's wisdom and what happens. Jesus presents this parable in a way that it's an agricultural illustration. So he's casting alongside, a parable is really a casting alongside, telling of a truth alongside of a reality. So you know very well that the people that Jesus was addressing were very familiar with this idea of sowing and reaping, of planting in different types of soil. And really this is appropriate because we live, even though some may not realize it, we live in an agricultural community. I mean, there's a whole lot of farmers that live in this area, especially if you travel south into Wayne County. This is very appropriate, not only because we live in an agricultural society, but it's that time of year. Some of you don't garden, but some of you do and like to garden, and it's appropriate to point this out, is that this can really recall to mind some aspects of gardening, some maybe frustrations that happen with gardening. But it's a key to understanding the sermon as well. We're just going to look at verses 18 through 23. So there's four types of soils. Jesus presents this parable and casts this truth out and speaks of this the parable of this, it says the parable of the sower here, verse 18. It says, when anyone hears the word of God, word of the kingdom, and does not understand it, the evil one comes and snatches away what he has, what has been sown in the heart. This is the one on whom seed was thrown beside the road. So we're going to, that's the only verse I'm going to read. I'm just going to point out the truths in the next. But the idea is that the Word of God is casted out upon the hearts of the people in this world, and it lands upon these four types of soils. And a fair question for yourself is where am I, where, this is, ought to be a litmus test for your heart. Is your heart this, in verse 19, the roadside soil? You all know what the roadside soil is. You see it all the time when you drive. You just may not realize it's there. But here it is. The seed that was casted out, and what happens? The evil one comes and snatches away what has been sown in the heart. See, it's a heart issue. Snatches away the truth of God. This is the one in whom the seed was sown. But then what happens in verse 20? Here we see the rocky soil. Here's the rocky soil, and who is this? This is the man who hears the word of God and immediately receives it with joy. Receives it with joy. Yet there's no firm root, but only something temporary. The affliction, look there in verse 21. The affliction or persecution arises because of the word, and what happens? Immediately falls away. So here's someone where the Word of God was casted upon their heart. They received it with great joy, jumping with joy. And when affliction and persecution came because of this truth, they immediately fell away. Yet it was this thorny soil in which the seed had fallen in this parable. This was seed sown among the thorns. This is the man who hears the word, and the worry of the world. And these are a couple important aspects to notice. Very insightful. Verse 22. Look there. It says, "The one who hears this and the worries of the world, or the worry of the world, and the deceitfulness of wealth, choke the word." All you gardeners out there know very well the weeds growing in your garden can choke out your crop very quickly if they're not dealt with. And oh, the sinfulness of man that's a perfect illustration of working by the sweat of your brow in your garden as those weeds come up and try to choke out your crop. But here we find the thorny soil. And what happens? The worries of the world. And this is very common. This very can be some place that is very easy, maybe for some of you to be worried, caring about the worries of the world. But also too, I would point out the deceitfulness of wealth. What does that mean? Greed is deceitful. It tells you a truth about what money is that's actually false. You know, God doesn't mean that there can't be men and women of God that own a lot of, have a lot of equity and have a lot of wealth. The point here is what happens is the deceitfulness of wealth, the deceitfulness of greed can choke out the truth of God's Word. A person can be deceived about a wealth in this world, and it can choke out the reality of what the Word of God ought to bring to bear upon their life. And then it says there, what does it say? It becomes unfruitful. Unfruitfulness. The Gospel of John is very clear about fruitfulness and unfruitfulness. And we as believers, we ought to be striving towards bearing fruit, right? It ought to be an affirmation to us. Fruit of the Spirit, love, joy, peace, patience, kindness, goodness, so many other things that God would bear upon our lives by His grace and by His mercy and bear fruit. But these who have the seed of the Word of God has been casted upon their hearts, the worries of the world and the lies of wealth have choked it out. But we can find comfort in this next one, is the fertile soil, the fertile heart, a heart that is prepared by God to receive His Word. So we go from the thorny soil, which is unfruitful, and we go to the rich and fertile soil. It says there, the good soil. This is the man who hears the Word and understands it. He perceives. And what happens? Bears fruit. He bears fruit a hundredfold, some 60 and some 30. And here's a very interesting, intriguing thing I should point out, and you should notice, is that the fruitfulness will bear out itself in people's lives in different ways. Some a hundredfold, some 60, and some 30. Neither of those are bad. All are according to God's will. So where's your heart at when you listen? Are you listening to the Word of God? Where are you, the roadside soil? Is your heart like that? Is your heart like the one who has, the evil one has come and snatched away the truth? Or are you like the one with the rocky soil? One who receives the Word of God with joy, but affliction comes, persecution comes, but then you immediately fall away. Or are you like the person, is your heart like the man in this parable, the heart in this parable of the thorny soil, where you have let the worries of the world or the deceitfulness of wealth choke out the truth and the wisdom of God? Or can you be found as the one with fertile soil, a prepared heart who has sought to be fruitful for His kingdom? This roadside soil could be described as stubborn, just really unreceptive. And the rocky soil could be described as shallow and very superficial. Or the thorny soil, a worldly and strangled heart. But yet the good soil, a fertile heart, is soft and receptive to His Word. So this morning, as we turn back to Proverbs chapter 8, if you're in Matthew, we're going to consider Proverbs as God has given it. And we're going to remind ourselves of truth. What's my place? And we're going to give attention to it. So this morning we will continue to examine some compelling reasons why we ought to listen to God's wisdom. Compelling reasons why we have to listen to God's wisdom. Proverbs 8. The first reason is, in addition to last week, or last month, I should say, is that God's wisdom will bring blessing. Proverbs 8, verses 32 through 34. Also, God's wisdom will bring life. And you can see that in Proverbs chapter 8, verse 35. And then thirdly, God's wisdom will bring favor from the Lord. And all of these ought to be very much an encouragement to you, especially going through life and the difficulties of life, sometimes really being tempted in a lot of ways going back to thinking about in Ephesians, talking about the armor of God, and you know how as Satan would come and tempt somebody. You know, there's a lot of temptations, a lot of difficulties, a lot of trials and tribulations. But this ought to be solace to your soul. You ought to come here and find confidence and encouragement that as you read and as you persevere in life, and as you listen and you strive to apply God's word to your life, that you can be confident in these things. That God's wisdom will bring a blessing to your life. God will bless you for your obedience. It doesn't mean it's going to be an easy life. It's a life of blessing. But also, too, God's wisdom will bring life. We'll see what that means. And God's wisdom will bring favor from Him. So I just want to briefly mention from last week, I'm just going to touch on it. I won't go as much as I have here. But I want to bring out the compelling reasons that we spoke about last time. God's wisdom will guard you against foolish decisions. As you seek God's wisdom as He presents it in His Word, it will guard you against foolish decisions. Not that it will prevent all foolish decisions, because I'm sure you guys, everybody here can think of foolish decisions that you've made in life. But really consider that. It will guard you against the making foolish decisions. But also, too, that God's wisdom will equip you to be discerning. God will equip you with discernment. And then God's wisdom will keep you from a sinful manner of life. Okay. First, God's wisdom will bring blessing. Proverbs chapter 8, verse 32 through 34. Let's read it. Now therefore, O sons, listen to me, for blessed are they who keep my ways. Heed instruction and be wise, and do not neglect it. Blessed is the man who listens to me, watching daily at my gates, waiting at my doorposts. Now, we didn't look at the whole chapter, but if you were to read from the beginning, and even there's other couple examples of personification, meaning it gives human characteristics to wisdom. This is what's happening here. And it's just a device that Solomon uses to communicate, it's really God through Solomon, using to communicate God's wisdom. And that's where we see the use of me. Blessed are they who keep my ways, speaking of wisdom's ways, the ways of wisdom. Many have a view about God that they see Him as a crutch. Maybe some of you know people like that. They say, you people who believe in God, you just need a crutch. You know, in their minds, God is just a good excuse for weak people to trust in something for, some sort of confidence. But also there's people that are convinced about being blessed without believing in quote-unquote the God stuff. That they think that, they're living a blessed life, yet it's really not blessing from God at all. So here we ought to understand, what does it mean to being blessed by God? As we seek God's wisdom, seek to listen and apply it to our life, what is blessing? Well, before we get there, we need to look at a few particulars of verse 32. If you look down there, it says, "Now therefore." And basically what's happening here, it's a simple observation. You can see that we're at the end of the chapter, and it's presenting concluding thoughts. So in some sense, as verses 1 through 31 presents an argument, presents a case, and then it says, "Now therefore." And remember what I said about wisdom being personified, and personified as Lady Wisdom, and it says there, "O sons," and it's as if speaking to the son, to their son. Lady Wisdom is speaking to their sons, and in a way to listen to what she has to say. And really, that's what we ought to do right now. We ought to listen. Listen to God's wisdom. This personification of Lady Wisdom helps illustrate a central message in Proverbs. It's the origin, the existence, and the purpose of true wisdom are properly framed in relationship with the covenant Lord, who is also the maker of heaven and earth. As a result, the realm of wisdom encompasses every aspect of life in every corner of creation. That's how we ought to see this. So there's many verses before that, and you can read that as you're at your leisure. But we're going to focus on these verses here. And we spoke a little bit about listen the last time. But some of you may know a particular passage in the book of Deuteronomy called the Great Shema. Hear, O Israel. God is calling Israel to listen. God's calling Israel to listen, and this is what is happening here. Now therefore, O sons, listen to me. Attend your ears. And then it goes on to say, for blessed are they who keep my ways. What does this blessing mean? Essentially, what it means is happiness. So happy are those, you could insert that there, happy are they who keep my ways. This is true happiness. In a passage that we'll talk about, but I'll mention here, that may come to mind is the Beatitudes in the New Testament. The book of Matthew, chapter 5. Blessed are the poor in spirit, for they shall inherit the kingdom of God. Happy are those. True happiness originates from a faithful, obedient life and servant to God. So no matter what circumstance, no matter where you're at in life, on the face of this earth, one ought to, if they are a child of God, one ought to live and be blessed or are blessed by God with true happiness if they are living a faithful, obedient life in service to Him. No matter where you're at, no matter the circumstances, true happiness is found in God and God alone. This happiness does not originate from storing up material things. It doesn't originate from building your life around what others may think of you. It doesn't even mean that the social status that you may have or any sort of amount of knowledge that you have or any sort of business accomplishments or college or degrees or whatever letters are after your name. Really, true happiness is found in a life that is a slave of Christ, who is committed to live an obedient life to God in service to Him. A faithful servant. The most faithful servants in this time of life, some that you will never know, but when you go to heaven, everybody will know. So why not be somebody that strives to live obedient and find true happiness in God and God alone? Let's read a couple passages from the book of Proverbs that reaffirm this truth. In Proverbs chapter 3, verses 13 through 18, we can see this idea of this blessing from God. Recall to mind and affirm this truth. How blessed is the man who finds wisdom and the man who gains understanding. Here's the personification again in this chapter. For her profit is better than the profit of silver and her gain better than fine gold. She is more precious than jewels and nothing you desire compares with her. Long life is in her right hand. In her left hand are riches and honor. Her ways are pleasant, and all her paths are peace. She is a tree of life to those who take hold of her, and happy are those who hold fast. Proverbs 16, verse 20. Another affirmation. He who gives attention to the word will find good. And blessed is he who trusts in the Lord. Proverbs 20, verse 7. A righteous man who walks in his integrity, how blessed are his sons after him. What a comfort that is to parents who have children, that you walk with integrity. How blessed are those who sons after you. It's not just children, the idea of children. One more passage, Proverbs 22, verse 9. Proverbs 22, verse 9. He who is generous will be blessed, for he gives some of his food to the poor. Really, this applies to earlier, that in your generosity to Walter Heaton and his family, that is a thing that only God can put on your heart and mind and what to give. But in your generosity, that God honors that. There's true happiness in serving God in that way, of being generous. In this passage here, it says, to the poor. What a blessing it is. What a blessing it is to be generous. To give sacrificially, not just to missionaries, to those around you, whether it's food or monetary things. And you guys, you all can probably recall some ways that God had moved in your life to be generous. And maybe in the instant, it may have been a little bit hard. But you may have gone away from that situation, being richly blessed, being truly happy to serve that person in that way. What a blessing it is. I love reading those passages because it provides great comfort, great confidence in the Lord's blessing. It ought to bring confidence to you as you strive to live an obedient life and listen to the Word of God and apply it to your life, that these are evidences of God's blessing in your life. Let's turn to Matthew 5 real quick and look at that. The passage in Matthew regarding the Sermon on the Mount, Matthew chapter 5. And I'm just going to read a few. Just read a few verses. I'm not going to go through and explain, but I'm just going to read a few that we can find to see those who are truly happy in the Lord's blessing. Blessed are the poor in spirit, for theirs is the kingdom of heaven. Blessed are those who mourn, for they shall be comforted. Blessed are the gentle, for they shall inherit the earth. Then verse 8, blessed are the pure in heart, for they shall see God. Blessed are the peacemakers, for they shall be called sons of God. Blessed are those who have been persecuted for the sake of righteousness, for theirs is the kingdom of heaven. A truly happy life in obedience to God, as you see in these verses, is not one without difficulty. Isn't without mourning, isn't without being poor of spirit, isn't without a hardship. a true happiness, true blessing from God. Is living a happy life. Turn back to Proverbs 8. Proverbs 8, continuing on in verse 33, it says, heed instruction and be wise and do not neglect it. And even though it's a different word that you see in the English translation where it says heed, it's the same Hebrew word as you see there in verse 32 where it says listen, shama. And really, it's the author Solomon, he's just using a synonymous word to listen, saying heed. So it's not so much, I guess what I'm trying to say is that it's not so much the use of the word heed, but the idea that we should take away from it is that we ought to, it carries the same ideas in verse 32. Heed instruction and be wise and do not neglect it. This instruction that is being spoken of is correction that leads to wisdom. It's correction that leads to wisdom. This suggests that that learning of lessons is important to successful living. I'll say that again. It suggests that learning lessons is important to successful living, living wisely before God. And how ought we to learn lessons, yet be corrected either by our friends, family, or just the truth of God Himself? Itself. Then look at verse 34, continuing on in this same idea of how God's wisdom bring blessing. Blessed is the man who listens to me, watching daily at my gates, waiting at my doorposts. And I don't think that illustration really requires much explanation. There, the idea you see that the blessed man who listens is watching daily, waiting. It's this idea of anticipation, intentionality. So the blessed man or woman is the one who remains attentive to the way of wisdom. This is the idea. So as you read the Word of God, as you study it, as you listen, as you pray, as you spend time singing your favorite hymns, may you pursue skillful obedience to God, and God will bless you. God will bring true blessing into your life. God will bring true happiness to your life. Secondly, God's wisdom will bring life. Verse 35, first part. For he who finds me finds life. So it's not just the physical life that we ought to see here. We ought to see that according to Scripture, what kind of things recall that you are recalled to mind about life? Here we have just a brief explanation of what he's saying above. He's trying. What's happening here is the use of for is he's explaining what he spoke of earlier. For he who finds me finds life. So he's building on this. So you could say that the one who is living a truly happy life in obedience to God has really found life. Has really found a way to live in true happiness and obedience to Him. Has obtained this life. Proverbs 2 verse 21 says, at the head of the noisy streets she cries out, at the entrance of the gates in the city, she utters her sayings. And this is the idea of this life. Where is this theme carried throughout Scripture? Life is found in wisdom. Life is found in wisdom. Proverbs 3, verse 2 says, "For the length of days and the years of life and peace they will add to you." Speaking of God's commandments, God's wisdom. Verse 16, in the same chapter, it says that long life is in her right hand, and in her left hand are riches and honor. Verse 18, "She is a tree of life to those who take hold of her, and happy are all who hold fast." And there's plenty of other examples. So life is found in true wisdom. But life is found in God's commandments. We read that already. But life is found in the mouth of the righteous. What do I mean by that? Well, let's read Proverbs chapter 10, verse 11. Where I'll read it. You can stay in Proverbs 8 if you'd like. "The mouth of the righteous is a fountain of life, but the mouth of the wicked conceals violence." The mouth of the righteous is a fountain of life, but the mouth of the wicked conceals violence. Out of the heart, the mouth speaks. And if one who is living in true obedience to God and true happiness has truly found life, it's like a fountain of life. The mouth of the righteous is like a fountain of life. Speaking the wisdom of God, the truth of God. And this theme of life is carried in the New Testament as well. It's carried and communicated in eternal life. The Gospel of John. The Gospel of John, chapter 3, verse 15 through 17. I won't turn there, but you can look it up later. Eternal life. And also the Gospel of John, chapter 6, verse 38, speaks of Jesus being the bread of life. So God's wisdom, in one sense, has brought life in the sense that in His creation. You can look at His creation all around you and see examples. Things are coming to life as it is spring. Trees are budding. Plants are growing in your garden and all around. You see everybody is very much excited about spring and just the warm weather. But more importantly, this life is life in God Himself, eternal life. That a life that God's wisdom brings, that's the end. That's the end. That's the end goal that God would, in His mercy and grace, that He would desire to bring life to a dead soul. So a life lived in God's wisdom will lead to blessing in life, and life and happiness and contentment that bears fruit of eternal life. And then briefly, the last, that God's wisdom will bring favor from the Lord. God is pleased with those who do His will and visits them with favor and peace. God's wisdom will bring favor from the Lord. God is pleased when you live a life that is obedient to Him. What is this favor? It's the idea of favor there. If you turn back to Proverbs 8, you can see that obtains favor from the Lord. It's the idea of the divine goodwill that reaches out to others in mercy and compassion. And what are some examples that are used in the Old Testament? I guess it doesn't necessarily have to be the Old Testament, but there's some clear examples of God's favor upon somebody's life. Genesis 6, verse 8 specifically says that Noah found favor in the eyes of God. But also Joseph, throughout Joseph's life, but specifically Genesis 39, verse 4, speaks of finding favor with Potiphar and his overseers. And then Daniel. Daniel chapter 1 verse 9. That Daniel found favor of the commander of the officials of King Nebuchadnezzar. And the list could go on and on and on. But those are some clear examples of people who found favor in the eyes of the Lord. And what's the contrast? What's the contrast to all of this? Where it says in verse 36, "But he who sins against me injures himself." Now, some people may be confused about that rendering. I'm not sure translation you use, and I want to kind of just point this out. I'm reading from the New American Standard, and that's what it says there. But the ESV and the NIV read something like "sins against," and that's the idea carried there. That he who sins against, or the idea is, I'm sorry, I misspoke there. The idea says sins against, but the idea is missing the mark. So several uses of this word in Scripture can be translated as missing the mark. It's really an archery term. And so someone who is sinful, the idea is that they have missed the mark. And so a better way to understand that is not necessarily one who sins against wisdom, but who misses the mark of wisdom injures himself. And this is important to see that the contrast, as we brought up before, is that someone who does not live according to God's wisdom will bring harm to himself. And then it says, "All those who hate me love death." So that's the difference. That's the difference between what God's wisdom will bring. God's wisdom will bring life in abundance that leads to eternal life. Yet those who seek to deny God's wisdom find themselves in this way, who have missed the mark, and they, in many senses, injure themselves, and they love death. So what should your response be as we close here? What should your response to be considering this wisdom from God? This wisdom that brings blessing, a wisdom that brings life, and wisdom that brings such confidence to live. Some really need to put their faith in Jesus as their Lord and Savior, but then there's others that really need, in some sense, is to break up the hard ground, as the Old Testament calls to harrow the ground of the heart, seeking to read God's Word, spend more, have more disciplined time of prayer, time of confession of sin. And really, it's an idea, a practical way, is to prepare your heart before Sundays and in whatever fashion that you find yourself, whatever is that may work for you. But the idea is to prepare your heart to hear from the Word of God. And really, it should be a habit of each time you read that you would ask God to teach you and prepare your heart to learn what He says. And others ought to be warned. There's others that reject this truth from God and ought to be warned by this. And then lastly is to develop a healthy habit of listening to God's wisdom. That's really the idea that I wanted to come to an end is to really point out the ways of how you listen to God's wisdom in your life and how it works out in your life, and really develop healthy habits of listening to His wisdom. Because there are false teachers out there. Scripture speaks of in Ephesians 4:14 that there are many who walk around and lack conviction, tossed to and fro. In book of Hebrews, chapter 5 even talks, draws out descriptions about people who lack discernment. So lacking discernment really handicaps the spiritual development in a person's life. And really, we ought to be held fast, like the Thessalonians. And I'll end here. Turn to 1 Thessalonians chapter 1 and find true confidence in the way that the Thessalonians had turned their life from a way of idols to a trust in God Himself and waiting, as it says in chapter 1, waiting for Christ to come. But let's find ourselves here like the Thessalonians. 1 Thessalonians chapter 5, verse 21 and 22. But examine everything carefully. Hold fast to that which is good. Abstain from every form of evil. So may you strive to listen to God's wisdom, that you would have true happiness in Him, be truly blessed, living a life of obedience, living skillfully for Him in His glory, that He may use you in the unique ways that He has fashioned you, that may bring honor and glory to Him in His kingdom. Let's pray. Oh Lord, thank You for this day. Thank You for the truth of Your Word. We bless You for it. We ask that You may give us rich grace, Lord, as we seek to understand Your truth as it is proclaimed, as we read it, and as we meditate upon it in our life, in prayer, or just throughout the day. Oh Lord, may You give us wisdom for life, that we may live in obedience to You until that last day, until that last breath, oh God. In Jesus' name.